Waiting, wondering, raining, thundering. White gravel underneath my feet. White knuckles knocking at your tree. Strange angel watching from afar with the black eyes of a seminal star. Waiting, wondering, raining, thundering. Waiting, wondering, raining, thundering.
Hi, this is Carl Weinshank with the Daily Music Break. The Daily Music Break is at www.dailymusicbreak.com. We cover all music across all eras and genres. Please stop by to hear some great music, get some context, and sign up for free email newsletters. We're thrilled today to be speaking to a duo by the name of Keyless and Cloud. It's Maria Keyless and Rory Cloud, and we're going to chat with them for a few minutes. Welcome, folks. Thank you for taking time out.
Thank you for having us.
Our pleasure.
Thanks very much. This is the first time, by the way, that I've interviewed two people at once, so it's twice it's twice as confusing for me, which is never a good thing. So I get pretty.
We'll try not to step on each other's toes.
Okay. To start with, if you can let us know where your music is available, that would be a great place to start.
Well, you can find us at our website, which would be www.keylessandcloud.com. I'll spell that out for you. It's QUILESANDCLOUD.com, where you can find videos and links to buy the music and all of that stuff.
Great. That's great. Thanks for that. How do you to describe your music? I have some ideas, but how do you self-describe what you guys do?
We tend to just describe ourselves as being modern folk musicians. We play acoustic instruments primarily. We both have backgrounds in other styles, but for this project, we generally perform with acoustic instruments, and we sing harmony together, and there's a lot of interplay between the vocals and the guitars and all that, but our influences come from a lot of different directions. So, you know, calling it just sort of modern folk music seems to kind of work. You know, we were doing our own interpretations of stuff that we're into.
Who are some of your influences?
Oh, man, a lot of stuff, but some of our more current sort of heroes are, you know, people that are out in the scene right now, like Chris Thiele. He's one of my big inspirations at the moment, just for creativity and, you know, a really expansive ear. You know, he listens to a lot of stuff as well, which is great for creating new and nuanced kinds of music.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say we're also very influenced by Gillian Welch, Ryan Adams, anybody really who sort of puts lyrics first. At least that's kind of where I come from. We are both just love music of every style, and for me, lyrics are kind of the most important thing. That's sort of personally my thing, though. And so those are a few of the names that are like on our current list. Aoife O'Donovan, Sarah Jarosz, people who are really kind of doing the acoustic thing and doing a lot of live interpretations with a lot of harmony and just really fantastic lyrics.
And
yeah.
Who from the past are some of the people that you see as antecedents?
What was that? Sorry, can you say it one more time?
Yeah, who from the past is some of the folks who've influenced you?
I grew up around, stuff my parents were listening to. My parents were both musicians and had a really large collection of music, anything from the Kinks and Grateful Dead to Joni Mitchell and Charlie Christian. I mean, just lots and lots of music. Some of my favorites when I was young were groups like the Kinks. Richard Thompson's always been a favorite of mine. We actually saw him recently. I kind of grew up in this sort of folk rock kind of environment and then drifted away and listened to a lot of other kind of modern stuff when I was a teenager. You know, MTV was huge. So I was sort of sent in a more rock and roll kind of direction for a while and eventually found my way into more modern stuff like, Fiona Apple came out around that time.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely sort of got me interested in a different genre of music than I've been into for a little while. I also discovered Modesty Martin and Wood at that time. I've always kind of gone back and forth between instrumental music and more lyrical-based stuff. But, some of the older groups are definitely, people like Richard Thompson and Fairport Convention.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Drake is another one that really had a big impact on me. What about you?
Let's say for me, I grew up not really hearing a lot of folk music or music that is really important to me now. I was given a guitar. I started playing violin at an early age, and then I was given a guitar, and I sort of started writing songs before being influenced by people who were really influential and really important to me. Like the first person that got me going was Ani DiFranco, and that just kind of opened the door for me into this world of folk music. And I was influenced by people like Joni Mitchell and Stevie Nicks and other women that were inspiring me to kind of speak my mind and through song, like I was already sort of had an inclination to do. I guess then I got into more a wider variety of music after that. But when I was younger, I didn't have too much going on.
Mm-hmm. And how did you two come together as a duo?
We met at an open mic in San Francisco in 2011 and didn't start collaborating right away, but I heard her sing and I really resonated with her style and approach to songwriting. I noticed right away that she was playing in dad tuning, alternate tuning. We ran into each other again later on at a different open mic about a month later, and she heard me play with a mutual friend, and I think we both just kind of had an initial feeling that there was some common ground musically, and we had our first rehearsal and hit it off right away. The blend between her writing and my lead playing and the vocal harmony, all that stuff kind of felt good right away. Of course, there's a lot of work involved to clean everything up, but we definitely felt a really strong, like I said, kind of musical commonality between our styles.
Mm-hmm. How does the creative process of putting music together, of writing music, change when you're a duo as opposed to writing it on your own? Or do you both write alone and then jointly perform it? What is the process for you guys?
Well, for me, the process is a very sort of solitary one that I've always come to. And I still need that to write. But now I feel like having another ear, having another mind, another soul, another person to kind of bounce things off of and to collaborate with makes it even stronger. And I think that we've grown to lean on each other, and our music has slowly, like when we first got together, it was very, you know, we played on each other's songs and we were just getting to know the feel and the sound of the music. And now it's much more integrated and much more of a 50-50 kind of collaboration, even though I'm sort of more heavy on the lyrics and Rory's more heavy on the musicianship part of it, or the, I guess, instrumental arrangements.
I definitely feel like I feel the same way where, you know, I'm more prone to write, especially lyrics, when I'm alone, because it's a very introspective kind of process. But with any, you know, she does most of the writing at this point. The initial writing, she does most of the sort of concept creation, where she'll start with the lyrics and the music kind of together. And I think it's kind of gotten to the point where it doesn't feel like a song is finished until we've done it together and really ironed out the transitions and the vocal harmonies. So it definitely feels like the bare-bones structure still happens independently, but the song really comes together when we come together.
Mm-hmm. It's
yeah.
Whatever you guys are doing is working.
We enjoy doing it. So.
Right.
Yeah.
You seem to be very prolific as well. As you have, what have you put out 2 albums in 3 years? I think.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like we're going slower than I want, but I think there's a lot of inspiration there. And the other thing to note is that Rory and I both kind of jumped off the cliff with this project right away. We've been on the road quite a bit, and we've been doing the music full time since we met. So
we have a lot of time together right away. And then the first, even just the first month, we played together every single day. And then that kind of continued all the way until the first record was recorded, especially in the 6 to 8 weeks leading up to when we actually tracked it. She and I were rehearsing every day. A lot of that had to do with our desire to record everything live, and we only had 2 days to do everything in. So for the first album, we just spent hours every single day just trying to nail down the arrangements and our exact parts, and then that way we didn't have to spend more than 12 hours in the studio.
Is that a function of the cost of the studio time?
It wasn't really necessary. Well, in a small way, it was about cost. There was actually the guy who was producing that record, who's actually one of Maria's family members. He was able to get us a really great rate with a good friend of his. He runs a studio in Elkhorn called Space Hatch. So the price was great, and he was also willing to put the cost up front and have us pay him back through sales. The cost wasn't as much of a factor, although it was part of it, because, you know, I'm sure he didn't want to go too deep into pocket before our first record was even released. But anyway, we more just really wanted to capture the live sound. That's our new record was done that way as well, even though we added new musicians for this new record. We still recorded everything live in one room, without even headphones.
Really?
We're drawn to that sound when we listen to other people too. Some of our favorite recordings of our idols are all, you know, done that way. They're all just expertly recorded takes in interesting environments. And, that's the magic of having musicians in a room together, that they're not only they're filling the space together, they're moving air together, the instruments are reacting to each other, the vocals are actually blending together in the room, and there's also the sort of a subconscious level of it, you know, the way that musicians kind of connect on a intuitive level, I suppose you could say. It's hard to mimic that energy when you're recording other ways. I mean, not that I don't have a lot of albums that were recorded that way that I really enjoy listening to. I do. It's just for what we're doing and for, I think, you know, our own aesthetic choice. It feels best when we're actually just performing the way that we love to perform together. So we're not trying to create something different other than what we just do naturally. We're just trying to kind of capture what we do naturally in a way that still appeals to listeners at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, one of the things that also struck me as I was looking at your YouTube videos is a lot of your YouTube videos are very well produced. I mean, a lot of groups and bands have one or two really well-produced YouTube videos, and the rest are, you know, fans at concerts with, you know, with but you seem to put a lot of pay a lot of attention to producing the videos. Is that true? Is that my imagination?
Well, we have been focusing on that, and again, this is something where I feel like we're sort of we have some opportunity to have better videos than we do, but we have, you know, I think we're aware it's the same thing sort of almost as the live recording. We want people to understand when they hear us online or see us online what it's like to see us live. And so having a good video, I think, is important towards that end. There are so many musicians that the representation you get on YouTube is nothing like what it is when you see them live. And so collaborating with, you know, people who do video and sound in a way that we really respect is something that we're very interested in and trying to kind of do more and more of. We're definitely focused on that. We feel like, you know, there's probably the videos that are online aren't even really representative of probably how we sound now because it's been a while.
What I'm saying is it's clear you put a lot of effort into them. They weren't just thrown together.
Yeah,
totally. We started doing that about a year ago, maybe a little more than that now. But our first really sort of produced live video that we put together was actually December of last year, so it was a year ago, and that was definitely a conscious decision, and a lot of that had to do with videos from artists that we like that really pulled us in, and you know, kind of realizing that we didn't have that, and it did come down to, you know, like Maria was describing, you know, people's first impression of the music, and it also has to do with you know, just trying to create stuff that we're proud of. So, you know, we, for that particular recording, we rented out a studio space. We hired the videographer to come in, and we had a good friend of ours who did all the video editing and stuff like that. And we went out of pocket for it, and it was a great investment. I mean, it felt good to bring in other people and sort of like, you know, contribute to our community of artists financially, you know, getting them involved in the projects that we're doing, but it also it helped us out tremendously. And we're still looking to do more and more of that. There's a group called Mason Jar Music. I don't know if you're familiar with them or not. They're a video production company, and they're doing amazing work right now, and they're somebody that we've communicated with them a little bit, and we're hoping to cross paths one day, but they do a lot of great on-location live video work. They'll do stuff at various festivals like Telluride and
Freshgrass.
They're at Freshgrass. That's...
What's the name again?
Mason Jar Music.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. And are you guys touring? Are you playing, you know, is it mostly recording? Or are you playing house concerts, venues, festivals?
All of the above. We're very interested in festivals and have had a little bit of a foot in the door on this last tour. We performed at Fresh Grass in the duo competition and are going to be able to play next year in September at that festival. And so we're slowly making our way into the festival scene. But yes, to answer your question, we tour quite a bit. We just came off of a 4 or 5 month tour recently. And we definitely do house concerts during those tours. And we play at restaurants and, you know,
theaters. We kind of just anything we can get into.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're always looking for listening rooms and unique spaces and stuff. But yeah, we do have several things going on in the recording side of it. Next year, we're going to be recording with a producer in Berkeley. There's also the woman who produced our recent record, Sentinel Star. Her name's Cookie Marenko. We're planning on doing some more recordings with them soon. And we're also going to be recording at some point in the next 12 months at Compass Records Studio in Nashville.
Wow.
So at some point in the next 12 to 18 months, there should be two or three records worth of music coming out.
Okay. Well, you certainly know where you are, you guys.
Yeah. We're just having fun and trying to work as hard as you can and you know, the best part about traveling too is getting to meet other musicians that are doing the same thing and see our heroes perform and
right.
Where a lot of the inspiration comes from to keep doing this and to keep putting all the work into booking and all that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly wish you a tremendous amount of luck and success. And I as I said, I don't, you know, your stuff is terrific. I really enjoy it very much. And to just to round it off, could you tell us again where folks can listen to and perhaps buy your music?
Yeah. Our website, QSNCloud.com, QUILESANDCLOUD.com. And right on the homepage, there's information on how to listen to our music. To download the new record, you can go to QSNCloud.downloadnow.net. But just going to our website, has all the information on that, and you can find us on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and all that stuff as well. But the website has video and audio and ways to get in touch with us.
Beautiful. Well, I'd like to thank you for taking time out. It's been absolute pleasure talking to you, and wish you continued and growing success.
Oh, thank you. Likewise. Thanks a lot for having us.
Thank you. This has been the Daily Music Break podcast. I'm Carl Weinshank. Please stop by the Daily Music Break, which is at www.dailymusicbreak.com, to hear music across all eras and genres and get some context and sign up for free email newsletters. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.